It is wonderful to be here tonight. I get this is on, right? Okay. I can't tell. I don't have my hearing aids in. The 10 and a half years that I was here at Garden Grove were wonderful years. I enjoyed them so very much. And so many of the people that were here back in those days or have gone to a better place. First Baptist Church. No, I'm not. No, they've gone to be with the Lord. And I counted them such dear friends and those who are left as well. And I miss seeing everyone. But, you know, the Lord calls us places and He blesses us. I have been blessed at Calvary in Tecumseh. Garden Grove was our sponsoring church when we started that mission over there. And probably about a year after we got it started, I went there to be with Brother Bert Jackson, many of you remember. And we got the work started and organized and been going now for 36 years, actually, is the time that we've been there. And it's been wonderful. We've seen many souls saved. We've seen lives turned around. Our church has grown. Actually, when you think about it, this may be the third church I've pastored there. Because, you know, at one point we were running up over 100. General Motors shut down and we lost about 40 people in a year because they were moving off for jobs and things. And so we got building back up, got up in the upper 70s, and then COVID hit. Knocked us down about half. Well, we're rebounding again, and we need your prayers. This is not going to be a sermon exactly. It's more of a encouragement, I suppose. And it won't take very long. I'm going to be like, there's a guy in Branson, a comedian up there, who made this statement one time. He said, I'm going to be like Elizabeth Taylor told her seven husbands, I won't be keeping you long. And so that's the way this will be. I want you to learn something from the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 4, the fourth psalm, and verse 1. It's a very simple psalm, and yet there is something that touched my heart about this for Garden Grove. David is writing this, and he says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer. First of all, let me say, what a nice building. Oh, this is great. That's wonderful. And I'm thankful that you're already filling it up. And you just need to do it some more and build another one. You know? And say, oh, man, that's tough. Well, you know, sometimes the Lord's work is tough. But it's a blessing. It is a nice building, and it's wonderful to see. And our prayers are for you to fill this one just like you used to fill the other one. And maybe you'll do it again in another building as well. Pray for our church as we seek to do the same thing. We want to fill it up and build on and win more souls and see lives changed and all of this. I think all of this is just a sign that God is blessing, and that's what you want, that's what we want for you, and we want for ourselves. But as I read this verse of Scripture, I want you to think of something, some things with me here. In this text, this is actually a prayer of David, the king of Israel. And he is praying this prayer to the Lord, of course. And there's something that he mentions here that I think applies today. He says here that thou hast enlarged me. God, you have enlarged me. Not that he's gotten fatter, not that it's anything like that, but he has enlarged me, he was saying, to be something that you can use in a great way. This is a Psalm of David that he wrote, and he turned it over to the chief musician of his court, and the musician was to put it to music and eventually be used by God's people to worship him. And first and foremost, you notice that David is praying for help. He doesn't say, I'm going to do this. Everything's going to be good because I'm in charge here and I'm the king and I'm going to do this and that. And the other. No, no. He's saying, God, we need your help. I need you when I'm in all the things that I want to do, I want to see done in this place. And I'm going to need your guidance in all of this. And this is a personal plea to God for help. And you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. There's nothing wrong for an individual asking another one, can you help me with something here? And certainly there's nothing wrong with God's people asking God for help. I remember when I was a boy, I had no hesitation about asking my dad to help me with some project I had going, or sometimes my mom as well. But David was a man who knew that the greatest help that he could ever get was from God Almighty. And he had plenty of servants. They could help him. They would help him. They'd be glad to. If he said, go fetch me this, there'd be someone to go fetch something for him. If he said, I need you to go here and represent me to these people, they would have done so. Whatever he might have needed, they would have done. The same thing was true with his family. Whatever he wanted them to do, they were gracious and glad to do so. And all of the followers, the people of the land where he was the king, he could ask them for anything and they would certainly have done it to the best of their ability. And so it behooves us to ask God for help in everything that we do, that he might be glorified in it all. I mean, lift him up in prayer and seek his will for our lives in every aspect of our lives. You know, the Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, you know these verses, I'm sure, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. But you know, it was God Almighty that David wanted to please. He wasn't looking for him to be pleased about anything. He was looking for God to be pleased. He loved his God and he wanted to serve him. Now, he wasn't perfect. We know that. There were times when he, you know, went on the wrong path for a while, but God always brought him back and gave him the things that he stood in need of. And David knew if God was in it, whatever he did, it would not fail. If God was in it, and you can say that today, God has been with us because we have not failed. Because look at what we have. Look at what God has done for us. And you know something, I dare say, before you ever began building this building, that you prayed. Prayed a lot, didn't you? Hopefully you prayed a lot. And why did you pray? Well, everybody needed to be on board. Everybody needed to come around and say, okay, I believe God's in this. So let's get on with it. Let's do that. And everyone was going to need to help. It wasn't going to be up to just a few, but everyone was going to have to help a little bit in some way or another. But like everything that we do, I'm sure that there were those who were opposed at first. There were probably people, oh, we can't do that. This is natural in churches and in associations and all kinds of things that we do. There's always someone who will doubt. And you know what? I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's something that drives us. I mean, what it does, it drives us to our knees. It drives us to our knees to say, oh, God, help us to all be on the same page. Show us what you want us to do and how you want us to be. And help us to be united in what we do. And evidently, that happened here. Now, I don't know if there's anybody opposed to it, but I'm just saying that you were united in getting this done. And it makes people think, can we really do this? Do you think we can? I mean, this is a big project. This is going to cost a lot of money. And do we have it? Can we get it? What's going to happen here? And so you pray about it. That's what prayer is for. That's what it's for. The Lord will show you just exactly what you can do and how He can bring it to pass. How, you notice that? I said, how He can bring it to pass. How He can do that. This will help you to remember that this is God's work. This is God's house. And it's a place where people are to come and worship and be taught the truths of God's word. And it's a place where people can come and hear the gospel message and come to know Jesus as their Savior. And that's what we want above everything. And in reality, when you get to thinking about this, we can say, somebody here can say, at my church, we do this. At my church, we do that. This is not your church. This is not Matt's church. This is not anybody here's church. This is God's church. This is His church. And it should be a place that is loved and treated that way because it's God's church. Not because of Him. I'm sure He wants it to be kept clean. I'm sure that everything He wants everything to be so-so. And that's good. But it's God's church. And it should always be that in your minds. There is no doubt in my mind that it will be. That it will be in your minds. But now, you need to realize, now the real work begins. The real work begins. Fill this place. Well, you already had it overfilled this morning. And that's great. That's wonderful. But God has enlarged you. I mean, it was one thing to get everybody in the building across the way there. I mean, it was nice. I don't even remember now. It was just over 200, I think, or I don't remember what the record was when I was here. We set that record then, and then it's been broken a few times. Amen. Amen. I say amen to that. God has heard your prayer just like He heard David's prayer. God, please enlarge me. Enlarge me. He has seen your willingness to step out on faith, and it took a step like that. I mean, for a building like this and all, it took a step, maybe to some people, a leap of faith. But you did it. You stepped out there. And God has seen your desire to have Him enlarge you, and He did so. He did it. But now is not the time to stop working. Now is not the time to stop praying. Now is not the time to stop going. Go and do the work that God has given you to do. And you know what? This is a lesson for all of our churches, not just Garden Grove, but our church in Tecumseh and other churches, whether here or around the world. God can do more with us wherever we are if we will earnestly pray, if we will give, if we will work, and we will depend on Him to lead us in whatever direction we need to go. God can do a great work in all of our lives, individually and also collectively as a church. For you and us and other churches, it's time to do as the psalmist said in Psalms 103, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Think about this benefit and thank the Lord every day. Thank Him for all that He's done for us, the good fellowship that we enjoy, the songs of praise that we sing, and all of these things. And let me say one thing. Let me admonish Garden Grove Missionary Baptist Church in one area. And that is that this church needs to fellowship with other churches. I heard one amen. Garden Grove has not been known through the years to be fellowshipping with other churches. I don't know why. When I was here, I tried to get people to go to association meetings. Very rare that one would. I mean, but we need the fellowship. God's people need the fellowship. You need to know the people from our church. Our church people need to know you. And we need to get together and fellowship in things such as this. And I don't mean this to be a rebuke, but let me just say that our church was a mission of Garden Grove Missionary Baptist Church. And when we organized, there were some people there. But when we've had other things like Fifth Sunday singings and get-togethers of some kind or another, there were times when some of the people here said, oh yeah, we're going to come, but you didn't. Oh, it's quiet in here again. But you know what? We need each other. We need. In the book of Acts, you find the associated work of churches. And we need to do that today, maybe as bad as any time in church history. There are churches in our association of churches in this state that need encouragement. I don't know how many we've lost over the past couple of years because they've dwindled and dwindled and they just couldn't pay the bills and they've had to just stop having church. And that people have gone in other places. Well, I think our churches, all of them, need to be like the Macedonian churches. In 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. In other words, the Apostle Paul had been to those churches, and he said, there are people in churches in and around Jerusalem that are struggling. Oh my, how they're struggling. And the people of the churches of Macedonia were poor people. Those churches were poor. They had hardly anything. But the Bible says they gave beyond their means to help their brothers and sisters in another place. Well, you know, some of our churches are trying to help some of these churches that seem to be failing. Garden Grove could be a great help. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about fellowship here. I'm talking about the need of that. And what I'm saying is God bless Garden Grove Missionary Baptist Church. May He bless you even more with this new building. He's already blessed you greatly. May He bless you even more. And may you be an inspiration to other churches. We need that in our work. And may we all make the work that we do in the service of the Lord all about Jesus. It's not about you. Individually, it's not about you. It's all about Him. And if we don't give Him the honor and glory that He deserves, we'll answer for it. And so let us all be willing not to give necessarily our money. Sure, give your money. But give yourself first to Jesus and then to the work of this church and then to the work of other churches of like faith and order, that we might encourage one another in growth and in prosperity. And I'm talking here about spiritual prosperity. It's been my pleasure to be here with you and to see all of this and to see old friends, and I mean old friends, and to fellowship a little bit. And love Brother Matt, known him a long time. His dad and I were the best of friends. We loved to hunt and fish together and all. And Garden Grove was a good place to do that when I was here and when he was here. And we did so. And I earnestly look forward to that day when I see him over there. Amen. And I'm getting older. It won't be that much longer. And I'll look forward to that and for so many more that have gone on before us. And may the Lord bless you in all the, your endeavors here. And may you see many more souls saved and lives changed and the church built up even more. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for this opportunity to be here today and to share with this church the blessing that you have given to them. And Lord, we don't just look at it as a blessing to them. It's a blessing to all of us. Other churches around, that we can accomplish great things if we just turn ourselves over to you and work. Lord, guide and direct us and guide and direct Garden Grove. And we pray, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. And may you always receive honor and glory from all that we do and try to do. And we ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.